Good morning and welcome to the City of Palm Coast City Council business meeting. Pursuant to the governor's executive order suspending all Florida statutes that require a quorum to be present in person at local government public meetings or require a local government body to meet at a specific public place, the city may conduct meetings of its city council without having a quorum of its members present physically or at a specific location and utilizing communications media technology such as telephonic or video conferencing as provided by Florida statutes. As mayor, pursuant to the authority granted to me by the city charter, I declared a public emergency on March 15, 2020 in response to COVID-19. Furthermore, pursuant to the powers and governor's executive order, I suspended all city requirements that require a physical quorum to be present to conduct this meeting and authorized that this meeting be conducted by communications media technology under the city's state of emergency proclamation for virtual meetings executed on April 3rd, 2020. The city manager, pursuant to the authority granted him by the city's initial state of emergency for COVID-19, has closed City Hall to the public. Therefore, no member of the public will be allowed into the community wing of City Hall during this meeting. Notice that this meeting was going to be held by communication media technology and not at a physical location was posted on the city's website at least 5 days ago. The notice provided that those members of the public needing reasonable accommodation to participate in the meeting could contact the city clerk for assistance by noon on Monday, August 17, 2020. Access to this meeting is being provided via live stream on the city's website at www.palmcoastgov.com and by calling 386-223-1690. Should you need technical assistance, please call 386-986-2391. Today is August 18th, 2020. It is 9 a.m. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Holland?
Here.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Present.
Councilmember Branquino?
Here.
Councilmember Cuff?
Present.
Councilmember Nett?
Here.
Mayor, all members are present.
We'll now open it up to public participation. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on items not on the agenda, you have up to 3 minutes. Ask that you please call in at 386-223-1690, hit *9 to be unmuted, and your 3 minutes will begin. We'll close public participation and move to the next item on the agenda. Okay. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good morning. Today, I'm so glad to be able to speak with you very briefly. One of our phones has a phone block because a city government doesn't want people to hear about their behavior. I'm a presidential advisory board member to President Trump. I can provide you my identification number. And we, the elderly, have experienced deep state insolence about several issues that have affected everyone in Palm Coast. And this has gone on for a few years. I have a master plumber diagnostic. This is one of the incidents. And that's explaining that there's a problem in Palm Coast. It's a very costly problem for the people who live here and have to pay their plumbing bills. I have another problem, and that problem has never been addressed, and that's a problem with water heater inspections that have a period of time to have that inspection done, But the inspector has told us that, he's told my wife that that inspection has been closed, you will never get that inspection. Well, finally we had to pressure him, and he let us have the inspection. That's Mr. Buckley, I believe, his name is Buckley. And, you know, we just have received terrible behavior. People don't return our calls. We're an elderly couple. We do everything we're supposed to, and we try and try and try to get a message through, and nobody ever calls us back at 627-1354. That's our problem. We want to tell somebody about it, but there's been a block on our phone. We can't even tell you. I have to use a second phone to give you this information.
Okay. Does that conclude your comments?
It does. We are disenchanted with their experience living here because of the city government and everyone from Kendra to all the other people we've tried to contact. They won't return our calls. We're in our 70s. We're very vital people, and we have some very important information to provide the city government here. That the water problem is causing people water waste, and we try to bring that to their attention, and they won't listen to it. You know, it just goes on and on with the problems we have. That's all I wanted to tell you. Yes, it is.
Thank you so much for your comments. Next speaker. Okay, thank you. I'm assuming you know who that is?
Absolutely,
okay,
yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll now move to approval of the minutes of the City Council, August 4th. 2020 business meeting, August 11, 2020 workshop. Do I have a motion? Moved?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Nets?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. We'll now move to agenda item number 2, which is a presentation for COVID-19 update.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. This morning we have Deputy Chief Clark and Captain Asconi here to go ahead and give us the COVID-19 update. I think they will mention, but I will also say that we did receive an extension this week of the governor's order for public meetings. We are now setting an opening date, a tentative opening date for October 1 for City Hall. So I wanted to be clear with that. We continue, as Captain Asconi has pointed out, to deliver 96-97% of our services without interruption remotely, and we will be bringing back shortly our plans for quasi-judicial meetings, which will almost, you know, bring us back to delivering all of those services. So with that, Deputy Chief Clark and Captain Asconi, if you could give us today's COVID-19 update, that'd be great.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. I don't see the Captain on this morning. There may have been a miscommunication on that. I apologize. Good morning, Mayor and Council. In the words of our fire chief from last week, we've reached cruising altitude. In the COVID dilemma that we're dealing with, we're where we're going to be for a while. Our meetings are we went from daily to biweekly to weekly to now on occasion meetings, keeping us updated. The grant monies for CARES Act, the Fire Act money that we're receiving from the federal government, these are the types of programs that will continue. There really is very little in new information. The rate of infection has been pretty stable. The totality of the numbers is climbing at the same rate it has been climbing. We are suffering employee illnesses throughout the city. I know the fire department has a new diagnosis as of yesterday, but we continue to clean the stations. We continue to clean the workplaces. We continue to provide services as safely as we can. And in the continuity of government, I genuinely believe is intact. We appreciate the leadership we get from our elected officials and our city administration. And I would be happy to answer any questions. We're literally in the same boat we've been for the last couple of weeks, and I have not a lot new to report.
Council, any questions? I Seeing none, we'll go to the next agenda item, which is a presentation on communication strategies on COVID-19 and council priorities.
Thank you again, Honorable Mayor, City Council. Today we have our communications department here, just continuing the conversation. Been a lot of focus on us trying to revise and design and execute strategic communication strategies. This continues to be a priority of council. I think we hear about it at almost every council meeting about how we need to continue to evolve, be more strategic, direct, utilize various channels to communicate with our residents. So what we have and had discussed a few meetings back was that we would give an update as we continue to develop this plan and allow communications to share where they are at and ask or answer any questions, the council may have.
Thank you, Mayor, Council, and City Manager. Starting out, we have our City Council priorities for the next fiscal year related to our strategic action plan. The four priorities relate to creating a communications plan that outlines the techniques being used by our customer service team to improve efficiencies and customer satisfaction, be local, buy local, and the campaign that goes along with that, a communications plan related to public-facing projects with various departments, and then hosting virtual town halls and other interactive opportunities, which of course is very important, especially in the midst of a pandemic, to keep our community engaged. So for the first three priorities, which is basically the three besides the virtual town hall, we're beginning to take the steps to execute the marketing process for these. We're using every single tool at our disposal, again, which is even more important since we do not currently have the ability to meet face-to-face with the public. We're using things like Zoom, you know, in our virtual town hall live streams to be able to communicate. And then, of course, using radio, email, social media, and, of course, all the written tools that we're still using, like releases and feature stories. So our first step was organizing the information. We're working and have worked with customer service, community development, IT, Parks and Rec, and Stormwater Engineering to gather the information for their project specifically. And then the next step is to ultimately work with IT and our Salesforce team to build the web page for the projects and initiatives so that we have that single source for this information so the public can find it easily and so that we can disseminate it out from that to our various channels.
Can you go back a slide, please?
Yes, ma'am.
One more. Yeah, so do we have fire in there?
Fire has its own tile, but we can include them along with the rest of them for the public-facing projects, but we've been working with tile to have constant updates as well.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was supposed to be integrated. Is it not?
It's supposed to be in all the communications supposed to be integrated on the Palm Coast Connect page. City updates, as we discussed, are scheduled to have that impact, and the tile I thought was a separate. I mean, it's a part of that integration, but if you want to dig deeper as a constituent, then you can find additional information. Is that still how it's set up?
Correct. To clarify, these departments that I have listed here is specifically for this council priority number three, relating to broaden public awareness for key initiatives, streetlights, stormwater engineering, business-friendly initiatives, innovation, and arts district. We are putting every single department on Palm Coast Connect. We just had this listed here related to the third council priority.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
This is just a quick look at our marketing plan, our marketing plan template, I should say, and how we develop it, whether it be long-term or short-term. Short-term being something like the Mayor's Water Challenge for conservation. Long-term being something like Be Local, Buy Local, which is going to be multifaceted and planned out basically every single month ongoing. And then, of course, our results. We are always looking at the results, whether it be through Facebook, YouTube, constant contact, our partners in media, to see how our advertising is going, to see how many people we're reaching, and to see how we can obviously do better. So for customer service, we've been working on pep tank marketing, promoting the user experience, and we're in the process of educating our ambassadors for Palm Coast Connect. And this kind of goes into something that we'll go into down the road, but the City Ambassador Program, which is ultimately helping educate our residents and the most important initiatives and campaigns so that they can ultimately be ambassadors for the city, whether it be local, buy local, Mayor's 90-90 Challenge, Rise Up Palm Coast, whatever it may be, to help spread that message.
So as regards to the media partners and the advertising that we contract with them. Do they provide the measurement of data, or how does that work?
They do. So speaking with the Observer, for instance, they are able to use Google Analytics and show us how each ad is doing, you know, on its own individual self.
And how much time do they derive that data, and then what decision is made as far as the ROI on that?
So they basically are able to show us how it's doing based off different placements, and then we can make decisions based off of, you know, the exposure rate, the placement within the site, things like that. We have shifted largely digital. Conversations I've had with our city manager is to basically shift digital because of the pandemic and trying to reach the largest amount of people, but at the same time, we are still cognizant of having a demographic that, you know, does need some print, and so when we use, you know, different utility things or customer service things, we may still print, you know, various collateral. And, you know, discussions I've had with you, for instance, when we talk about the newsletter, right, like that's to a demographic that would like a print. So it basically just depends on which area we're targeting.
Okay. And you make those decisions annually, or do you make them based on quarterly or
biannually? Yes.
Okay.
Versus something like longer term, like the newsletter, we're actually, a good example is we're designing the new newsletter for next fiscal year in-house as a cost-saving measure. It's been designed out of house for the past several years, but that's something that we can design in-house. We have a very talented graphic designer that we know that can do that, but at the same time, we can't distribute that without using another service. So that's something that's more longer term, but something that's shorter term, like, you know, city highlights, for instance, and things like what we used to call Week in Review, we can evaluate that on a month-to-month process as far as how we're disseminating that out. And we have to be fairly nimble, especially in the midst of the pandemic, realizing that, you know, it's going to change how we reach people best.
Okay. And have we done any surveys for our residents to understand how they wish to receive information and how they're comfortable receiving it?
I'm glad you asked that. We're actually working on that right now to be able to better understand what is the best way. Again, there is a little bit of a limitation because if we're, for instance, sending it to them via email, that's going to kind of skew the demographic, right? Because if we're sending it to them electronically, we're going to be reaching people that are responding electronically. But we're working with our customer service team to be able to get them out in multiple ways, whether it be in the newsletter. We have an upcoming newsletter that we can put that in to ask them. And then obviously Palm Coast Connect, constant contact, social media.
Is there a capability on Palm Coast Connect to do an actual survey?
Mm-hmm.
So has that been constructed to send out to all residents?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And we will have those results. We have those results by, you think, end of the year?
Maybe the fall.
Yeah.
Give us enough time to have enough time to send them out to the community with a reasonable amount of time to respond, and then for us to evaluate them and really make an educated response and a plan of how we would go about using that data to progress forward.
So what are some of the questions that are asked on the survey?
I think we'd want to know how they're getting information, how would they like to get information, what devices that they use to keep informed. A lot of people use social media, but like you said, a lot of people, maybe they don't want it by mail. And so we kind of have to go by that. I think some of our ambassadors might be able to provide us some additional questions, so we really want to include them. I think between those, I think we're going to have a good amount of questions to be able to figure out, you know, what the answers are to that to go forward.
So I would just ask this council if there's anything in particular they'd like asked on a survey in regards to increased communication opportunity that they suggested as we're talking about this now. I'm sure that each of us, whether we pick up a newspaper or we're on social media or we're going on the website to gather information or we're just hearing about it from a newsletter or an organization, I'd be interested to see if there's anything in particular that this council wants to see put forth to our residents to say, let's ask this question of them. And so if there's anything, please suggest that now.
I have something, Ms. Mayor.
Yes.
I would suggest that if we could have some type of question included where we're polling individuals to see whether or not they have access to a mask or a face covering during this time. And if they do answer no, then we'll be able to reach out back to them directly and be able to interface them with a resource to be able to get one probably for free. I know I know that there's a bunch of people giving them out. But oftentimes if we don't know who needs them, then, you know, those requests kind of go unheard. So perhaps if we do something like that, it could be a twofer.
Okay. That's helpful.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Not at this time. Just basically, we basically using the news release announcements, the Palm Coast Connect, social media, constant contact, radio streaming, and virtual town halls. There's very little out there extra that we could do to inform people.
Councilman Renetz?
A question and a comment. What is Pep Tank Marketing?
You want to go into that?
Yeah, so we actually worked with customer service on it's an educational marketing campaign to educate current residents who have Pep Tanks but maybe just aren't as familiar with them, and then also new residents about what the Pep Tank is. It kind of related to storm preparedness, but it's really an educational tool to let them know all about the Pep Tank and what they need to look out for, what the buttons mean, what the sounds mean, and who to contact if it's making sounds. So we actually...
Pep Tank education might be better than marketing. You're not trying to sell Pep Tanks, I don't think.
Definitely. So that's what that was, and we worked with them. It was about a month of different dissemination tools, and we actually got a really good response from residents who, a couple of them, had requested to get more information from us and be added to different distribution lists to get more information because they were interested in hearing what we had to say. So.
There's an old saying, you don't know what you don't know. It would seem to me that so much of this is technologically based, and we have a senior population that may or may not be particularly technologically aware. It seems to me we've got Palm Coast Connect, for example. Do our residents know what is available? Do they know what they can do with it? I think starting back at ground level for some residents and explaining what is available, what you can get, how you can make your life easier. You don't have to drive to City Hall to do this. You can, I still think we need to educate the public on how to use what we're making. Thank you.
That's a good point. I mean, it could be where our virtual town halls are very successful. It could be hosting a Palm Coast Connect Academy, right, or something to that degree. What we do with the Citizens Academy virtually is just more information is helpful to them. So it could be hosting a town hall for the residents to learn more about the application and how to best utilize it and some of the ways it could. A virtual class is very easily done where you walk through a demo from someone from customer service where they can take you through step by step. That's a good suggestion.
Thank you. We will incorporate that.
Councilmember Cuff.
Councilmember Netz, I think already covered one of my comments. I was going to say we obviously are collecting a lot of data. I'm just not sure how much information we have or what conclusions we can draw from that. If you do an online survey, and one of the questions I was going to suggest is how do you prefer to receive information from the city? And I think we've asked that before. But if you're not taking the online survey, we're not going to know that you don't want to get an email or you don't want to use or don't know how to use Palm Coast Connect. So I do think we need to do more in that area. And also, too, I think we need to try to develop a facility for one-on-one instruction, if you will, or Q&A with citizens who want to use the technology but aren't that familiar with it. You know, I've watched so many online tutorials of how to use Zoom and how to do this and how to do that that my eyes aren't focusing anymore. But for a lot of people that aren't familiar with the technology at all or very little, telling them they can go to some web address or click on this or click on that and learn how to do it isn't going to get them invested in the newer systems and the newer ways of communicating. So I think we always need to keep in mind and it's tempting to dismiss it as the older population, and certainly a lot of folks in that category aren't as thrilled with technology as younger folks, but I think it cuts across generations, and we always need to be aware of that. One area that I'm not sure we're covering, given the lack of ability to get out face-to-face, is a lot of our organizations around town are conducting their meetings by Zoom, and they welcome speakers that can appear that way. And certainly we're talking the talk, so if we could walk the walk, I would think we would be able to have a variety of speakers from city staff or even the council. If an organization wants to have a semi-live presentation on something, and that might be a good way of also getting the word out about particular projects or particular communication strategies to a group of people that are somewhat familiar because they're on their computers and their phones attending the meeting, but may not be as invested in it as the folks that do it day in and day out, like a lot of our staff do. So if we could try to contact or at least find out which organizations. My Rotary Club is a good example of one that's been doing that now for several months and has had several good presentations. That might be another opportunity to get the word out.
That's my Thank you, sir.
2 cents.
Yeah, I agree. And just, to add, I think just to be nimble, right? Because, I know for me, I am not and actively participating in Facebook because I find it negative and, frankly, pretty nasty right now. So I don't know how many people have turned off social media as a way of just saying we don't want to actually go on to it. So to be nimble enough to say, how do we continue to communicate with our residents, knowing the variety of ways that they're looking for information, and to keep just being, thoughtful about that. Thank you,
Mayor. Of course, our Be Local, Buy Local initiative, one of the most important to the long-term health of our city, has many components. We have different business sectors that we focus on. In June, we began with 30 restaurants in 30 days. In August, we've been promoting health and wellness, personal care. Going back to the Ambassador Education Program, Be Local, Buy Local is one of the first campaigns that we're working to educate our city ambassadors on. Going back to what Mr. Cuff said about having Zoom calls with these ambassadors, that's kind of the first step. Obviously, we will be speaking to the organizations and the businesses as requested. There's a monthly photo contest for Be Local, Buy Local. This is separate from the annual photo contest, which wrapped up at the end of July. Be Local, Buy Local photo contest focuses specifically on photos of food from local restaurants, and then a winner is selected each month, and then they get a gift card to a local restaurant of their choosing, which ultimately feeds back into that cycle of supporting local. We have a video coming. We had it mapped out in the spring, but it was delayed because of the pandemic. We're looking to get back into it after the completion of storm season. And then we're also working on creating a new business guide. This was something that, Mayor Holland, you requested in one of the previous council meetings as far as helping new businesses kind of get their footing when they come to this community. And we've been in talks with the community development about that as well.
Councilman Cuff, may I have a comment?
Councilmember Cuff.
Yes, I was really actually wanted to follow up on your comment, Madam Mayor.
Yes.
I don't want to beat this to death, but I'm seeing a lot of statistics about what I would primitively call hits or interactions or whatever on social media, and it's obviously important that we keep track of those to try to track how efficiently we're getting the word out. But I think we really need to avoid reading too much into that, given the mixed feelings that a lot of people have towards social media, and you know, not getting too excited about having 6,200 responses to something if we don't really know, you know. I mean, that's a nice big number, but we have, we're pushing 100,000 people in the city. So how many actual human beings that number represents in terms of getting the word out, I think, is something we always need to keep in mind. And I assume our team is doing that. But I get kind of frustrated when I just see these, what look to me to be numbers regurgitated from Facebook or from one of the advertisers, Google Analytics or something like that. I mean, numbers are fine, but I don't think we can rely on just those numbers to tell us how many people we're reaching and whether we're really being successful in our work to communicate with our residents and have them communicate with us.
So I would also suggest, Councilmember Cuff, as well as everyone on this council, if we are affiliated with an organization and we do have that contact, if we could forward that to the communications team as a way for them to be proactive in reaching out to that organization, that might be helpful. Again, each of us are affiliated with some organization in this community, whether it be, you know, speaking to the Rotary or speaking to the Kiwanis or speaking to the Elks or speaking to the Portuguese Club. Like, those are contacts and connections we have. So I would suggest that each of us take a bit of time this week and forward that to the communications department or through Matt to let them know, this is the contact I have, this is the contact number, please reach out and see if we can get on their calendar and schedule a speaking engagement.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah.
Just to restate the obvious, with the demise of our Chamber of Commerce, this effort is critical to the long-term survival of local businesses. I want to commend you for putting this as one of your priorities.
Yep, I agree.
And to continue on with this, just as a quick look at the long-term marketing plan for Be Local, Buy Local, you can kind of see how we have it broken down month to month. We'd be happy to provide you with a copy of this if you'd like to read it in your own time, but this is just to show you that there's a lot that goes into marketing Be Local, Buy Local. It is not done willy-nilly. We do not take it day-to-day. We do it month to month, and we have it planned out all the way till beyond the end of the year. For our next initiative, focusing on the public-facing projects for streetlights, stormwater, business-friendly initiatives, and the Innovation and Arts District and Fiber, we have marketing campaigns for each of these. They're specific to each project, and we have general ideas for what to expect on each initiative and those that are slated for each plan. So we're working on gathering that information and organizing that, working with IT to develop that on the homepage of Palm Coast Connect, like we talked about. And then for our final council priority, the virtual town halls, this goes beyond just the virtual town halls because we talked about citizen engagement in general. And Mr. Cuff, I know that we talked about this in the past. You mentioned it in previous council meetings of how we walk that line between virtual engagement and face-to-face engagement. As Mayor Holland said previously, we have to be nimble. We have to adapt. Hopefully by, you know, the end of next fiscal year or even the middle of next fiscal year in the summer, we'll be able to meet face-to-face. We'll be able to have these meetings. But for now, we have to pivot, and we have to do the virtual town halls. We actually have one tomorrow. You can, of course, view that on Palm Coast Connect. We had one last week, and they've been very, very helpful for keeping our community engaged. Again, not to throw out empty numbers, but we are averaging about 25,000 views per virtual town hall, which is far and away the most consistent views that we've had for any media product ever put out by the city. So we are proud of that. We know that we're getting that engagement. But at the same time, we, of course, need to still have that face-to-face. So we're going to look forward to that.
Well, and to add, I mean, John, I remember going to your town halls for many years. And, you know, because of COVID, our limitations of engaging the public are significant. So having 25,000 views a week is
more than we ever had.
I was going to say pretty substantial, but I also think it's demonstrating that the residents want to find out information or trying to figure out what is the safest way possible to continue engaging in the community. So I think it's been hugely successful. I'm very proud of this, and I thank the communication team for continuing to push this out to the public and ask them questions. I mean, the questions that are responded to weekly are directly from the public. These are not questions that your team or us or anybody are bringing forth. These are direct questions that come in week to week. So,
public is our best source of information.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are.
I agree. Yep.
Don't look at somebody judging by its cover, because sometimes they do have a lot of intelligence
yes.
that could help us.
Absolutely.
And we should be humble enough to take it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're doing.
Thank you. Councilman Cuff.
Yes, Councilmember Cuff.
Yeah, no, Madam Mayor. Yeah, the town hall, I think, is an excellent example, and I don't want to come across as being, you know, a Luddite or anti-technology by any means. Obviously, we have to be getting better all the time at the digital ways of communicating. But I think that also the ability to ask questions and so forth is an important part of the process. I mean, a lot of what, and I may not be being fair to the folks on staff that are developing this, but we want input from the citizens. We're not selling, I mean, to Council Member Netz's comment, you know, we're not selling pep tanks to anybody. We're trying to communicate information that we as the city government believe our residents, our businesses need to know. But unless they have an easy way of telling us what they're interested in and asking us questions about what we're sending out to them, you know, we're just selling soap. And I mean, that's the one thing that I definitely want to avoid. So the more feedback we get from people, and I know the town hall meetings have been good for that, is I think vital to the process.
Completely agree. Thank you, sir. And this might be a good opportunity to bring up that we discussed when talking about this council priority, the idea of doing a once a month virtual town hall, not necessarily related to COVID-19, but just a virtual town hall to be able to have that continued citizen engagement. You know, this is something that I know that we've always wanted to do, and I think it would be a great opportunity to allow questions to come in and citizens to have that dialogue beyond the pandemic. You know, I think that it's still a good opportunity to hear the community and what they have to say. And I just wanted to throw that out there to see what, Mayor Holland, what you think of that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, again, when we're talking about council priorities, a streetlight program is a great example, right? To have that department being able to engage the public, to give them the exact location, how we came to the determination of which lights, where, why. I would not know that unless I'm sitting in these meetings every Tuesday. So to the point of we don't know what we don't know, I work under the assumption that our residents are working from a place unless they have the information handed to them or delivered to them, which is a fair approach. They're not coming to council meetings, you know, because obviously for their own reasons. However, that information is really critical to them. And it is always astonishing to me when I do get an email saying, why are you not doing any streetlights? Again, just as an example, I'm like, we've done streetlights for years in this city. It is a city goal and a priority. We did go through a study to determine how we approach the streetlights, what cost that is to the taxpayers. So I like having a monthly topic or whatever that I think each department can introduce as a way to continuously get that information out there. And now that our residents are familiar with how the town halls are working, how easily they could watch it from any device or, you know, sitting at home, I think it would be beneficial to continue with all of that.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
And again, this is just a quick template. This is for our short-term campaign. You saw Be Local, Buy Local, which was a long-term. This is something that we would use for, say, the Water Challenge, which is going on from August 1st to August 30th. 31st, sorry. And we're currently number three. We were number one last year, so please continue to make your pledges, and hopefully we can get number one 2 years in a row. And this is just an opportunity for feedback related to the council priorities. We have another presentation related to COVID-19 that piggybacks off of this, but we just wanted to give you guys an opportunity to present any feedback.
Council, any other questions or comments? Just, you know, going back to the speaking engagements, I think it'd be helpful to have a calendar of events set up where, you know, we're again being proactive and where the organization is listed on the calendar and who's going to be speaking and what topic. Again, I would also encourage you to reach out to your counterparts at the Sheriff's Department who's very active in their the safety meetings, the neighborhood watch meetings. Mm-hmm. I know they do them all throughout the city, mm-hmm. And I know they host them monthly, sometimes quarterly. Mm-hmm. So I think having those contacts and getting on those are going out to the neighborhoods and topics that are relative to them. I've spoken at them many times. I can tell you they want to hear about litter cleanup, I mean, those sorts of things. So I think it'd be beneficial to have a speaking group that could speak to a variety of issues. It's in particular, if you're going to put together a PowerPoint or something like that that you're presenting, and be able to respond to the residents there.
Thank you, Mayor. And so the next part is related to COVID-19. This is kind of a quick run-through of where we've been and where we're going. So we're, of course, using all the same tools, you know, and more for COVID-19 that we would for our regular marketing campaigns. And this has been ongoing since technically the day that we declared a state of emergency, but really it started before that back in February. This is a quick rundown of what we've done in March. Of course, the state of emergency was declared, I believe, March 15th. Numerous executive orders. We closed city facilities on March 23rd, plus parks and trails. And we kind of started marketing the virtual town halls. Our strategy, of course, was mirroring the CDC, Florida Department of Health, and the Flag Their EOC for that consistent information. Promoting the city leadership, updates on WNZF to reach the largest number of people, radio, virtual town halls, things like that. And then, of course, making sure all of our information is consolidated in one place on Palm Coast Connect as our single hub, and then from there disseminating it out, whether it be on social media or email. We had numerous press releases, numerous social posts, and 59 businesses joined the open business list on Palm Coast Connect, going back to what Councilmember Nett said about supporting our local economy being especially important during this pandemic. We were doing everything we could to make sure that they were promoted and made citizens aware of those businesses. In April, it got even busier when we looked at the mandatory shelter in place orders, the dashboards that we were building out, the cities of Palm Coast, Bonnell, and Flagler Beach keeping their parks closed, starting up the Feed Palm Coast initiative, where we took in donations of food and raised over $100,000 in preparation for that May 2nd date. And then, of course, developing the City of Palm Coast reopening strategy and communicating that out along with the fire department. Our April strategy kind of revolved around the shelter in place, staying home, stay safe, the engagement, consolidating our social media into a single handle of Palm Coast Gov, started to consolidate at that point. We wanted people to come to that single place and have that uniformity across all platforms. And then the outreach efforts, Palm Coast Connect was utilized to allow residents to submit questions for the virtual town halls and then submit videos for the Rise Up content, which was another campaign that began in April, engineered basically to keep citizens engaged and keep their daily routines going in the midst of a shelter in place, in the midst of a pandemic. So for our April data, this is just April, but we had 5 virtual town halls. We were averaging about 25,000 per virtual town hall, which is how we got to that estimated 125,000 social media views. Nearly 1,000 answered questions, and then over 1,600 non-unique registrants. People were tuning in like never before. And then for May, we started out with Welcome Back Palm Coast, and we had the Feed Palm Coast Distribution Day on May 2nd, fed over 5,000 families, and of course raised over $100,000 in donations for food. Continued on with the virtual town halls and the Q&As, updated the Business Resource Center so businesses had that information as they grappled with reopening. We reopened a lot of the parks and rec, the trails, and we began our Be Local, Buy Local photo contest, which was another asset to promote businesses during this time. This kind of goes along with what I was saying before, just disseminating from that single source and using every tool that we have at our disposal. We started creating infographics, kind of mirroring what the CDC and the Florida Department of Health were doing. Quick, easily digestible graphics to go viral easier than long written releases for really vital information. We noticed what the state of Florida was doing with their executive orders, just to make it easier for residents to understand. And then, of course, Be Local, Buy Local, and Rise Up Palm Coast. So our May data, just a quick rundown of that. We engaged with 38 different groups in Flagler County for Rise Up Palm Coast. We have those contacts. Those will, of course, be vital going forward for city ambassadors, and then, of course, for our Zoom calls to reach the community. 46 videos were uploaded. We were scheduling 5 to 9 pieces of content every day for over a month and a half. The initial announcement on Constant Contact, which is our email service, had an open rate of 55%. I think I said this before, but to put it into comparison, the nationwide average for government emails being opened is 2%. So people were very excited about Rise Up Palm Coast. This is kind of just a quick rundown, too, of the stats. I said these before, 5,000-plus families, $100,000-plus dollars raised. And it was the City Hall location, the location that my team was at, very, very smoothly. And once again, just wanted to extend a huge shout-out to Parkview Church and all the churches and faith-based communities that were helping us on that day and provided the volunteers for that. Going off of that into May, we continued with the virtual town halls, a lot of the same data, which was exciting to see because to be able to have 25,000 views on anything is exciting, but when you're able to maintain that for months at a time, that shows that the community actually does want to watch it. They're not watching it just because, oh, what's this new thing? They're watching it because they want to stay informed. And so we've seen that continue. Even after we took a hiatus between June 17th and then July 29th, you know, over a month, we come back and we still get 25,000 views. So that's very exciting. And then our Facebook restaurant guide in May, these were extremely popular, reached almost 50,000 people. And we weren't even boosting these. This was completely viral. That's the incredible thing. People really rose to support their local economy. A lot of the comments that we saw, both for the 30 restaurants in 30 days and these restaurant guides, were extremely positive. People commenting that, you know, oh, this is the best pizza I've ever had, or oh, my favorite restaurant, been going there for years. It's exciting to see. I actually can't recall a single negative comment related to the restaurants that we were advertising. And just want to make it clear for any restaurant owner out there, we don't pick and choose. If you want to be featured, we will feature you. Just please contact us. We begin our Be Local, Buy Local photo contest in May as well. Basically, just asking people to submit their photos of their favorite meal on Palm Coast Connect. And then we basically promoted it on all our social media. And we continue to do that every month. So in June, we continued on virtual town halls, Be Local, Buy Local. We did the Do Your Part, Wear a Mask, which was kind of the, I guess, the first push for really trying to just get that awareness out there that we do need the community to wear a mask. We need our city workers to wear a mask. We need everybody to wear a mask if they can. And then we did our first ever virtual State of the City on June 24th. And that was very exciting as well. Kind of going back to what I've said in the previous months, our strategy of having the announcement, sending it to media, posting it to the city website, Palm Coast Connect, and then sharing it out to all social media platforms, and then sending it out on constant contact to our 31,000 plus residents is variable depending on the importance level of what it is. Obviously, if it's an executive order, for instance, that needs to go out. If it's a closure or something like that, it needs to go out. And then infographics, of course, still strong in illustrating the information, and then continuing on with the 30 restaurant 30 days throughout June. Just more of the numbers. And in July, we had our mask resolution, spreading out the different testing locations, working with the Florida Department of Health. Our fire department worked with the Florida Department of Health to provide free masks, thousands of free masks to our communities. We talked about the avoid the three C's related to COVID. And then we restarted our virtual town hall on July 29th. We began the Mask Up Palm Coast campaign. And then, of course, Isaiah's prepping for that in the midst of everything. Then in August, which of course we're still in, we continued on with the Mask Up campaign. We've had multiple videos related to that. We've seen those be successful, graphics. Just continue to push that message. As I said, we transitioned to health and wellness sector for now. We're of course always looking to find, you know, the sectors that need the most help, and we identified the service industry first, and now we're moving on to health and wellnesses like gyms and salons. The water challenge is ongoing. It's the Wyland National Mayor's Challenge for Water Conservation, to be specific. And you can Google that, and if you go on there and you pledge whatever amount that you pledge, of course, do it for your city, Palm Coast. It's just a very, it's a good cause that ties into what Palm Coast is about, being a green city and a smart city. And like I said, seeing us win last year, it just kind of reiterates that our community is engaged. They do care about these causes. And we're working on hurricane preparedness as well, because while we did deal with one, hurricane season goes on till November. So we've been preparing for that. We've been getting trained in Alert Palm Coast, which is a subsidiary of Alert Flagler, to be able to have those notifications in the event of a severe storm event or another emergency where we need to quickly be able to reach our residents via SMS texting. And for our strategy this month, we're focusing primarily on the mask wearing. We're talking about the wastewater testing. That's something that's going to be really exciting to hear from an expert tomorrow that we're going to have on a virtual town hall. And then kind of presenting that data to the public so they can understand, you know, what the purpose of this is and how it's going to help as far as the tracing and ultimately preventing the spread of COVID-19. We're also working something that started in the last week, highlighting just all the different city services and staff that have worked extremely well and continue that premier level of service through the pandemic. We had a number of articles that my team created last week to highlight the different departments, IT, Parks and Rec, Community Development, and we'll continue on with those. Going forward, the COVID-19 messaging will be integrated into all messaging. It kind of becomes that new normal, like Bob Snyder said at one of the virtual town halls. You know, the hurricane season involves reminders that the city shares, you know, each summer. COVID will now kind of be a part of that, you know, because this is not going to be, you know, a one-month thing. This is going to be an ongoing thing for at least the next couple of years, I would imagine. So we'll continue with the virtual town halls each month. We'll continue pushing the city initiatives and promoting the events and all of our other communications functions. We also plan to share more updates of the city in response to COVID-19 through the employees that work on these projects and releases and social media posts, videos, things like that, to involve them in the storytelling process. It kind of goes back to what we talked about a few council meetings ago with the idea of each department having their place on Palm Coast Connect. This is the beginning of that. You know, they will have that. That will be built out by the Salesforce team in IT. But in the meantime, we can help them kind of craft their storytelling. We, of course, have our SIM plan that guides us through emergencies. we adhere to that, and we also apply our strategic communications plan whenever applicable. And then I referenced this in the previous slide, but our team's been getting trained on Alert Palm Coast to be able to have that for the really, really major announcements, because you kind of referenced this on Facebook, but not everybody uses Facebook, not everybody uses social media. So in the event of a tornado or a something very, very important that is very, very timely, we can't post something on Facebook, because I'm sure you guys have seen this, but you'll post it and you may not see it for 3-4 hours, you know, say a friend posted it. It's not guaranteed that you'll see that immediately, but something like a alert system, we know that that will work. Speaking with Jonathan Lord, we know that that will work as far as communicating quickly to our residents. That's all I have.
And how will, what the Alert Palm Coast, what's the plan of the vehicle to utilize that communication strategy in?
So basically, it would only be used for something, like I said, like very urgent, like a tornado or, you know, a very dangerous wildfire, but it would ultimately be in the hands of our fire department, because they are the professionals. We're trained in it, or we're getting trained in it, more trained in, I should say, to be able to understand it. But ultimately, that's going to be at the final word of the incident commander, which is usually going to be Chief Forte, potentially Captain Asconi, depending on the situation. So we would have to have messaging approved by them in that case to go out to residents. It wouldn't just be us sending out text to all of our residents without having that approval.
So it would be sort of text communication? Okay.
Yes.
All right. And the platform, you're coordinating with who's building that platform to push those text messages out?
It's actually already built. We just had to get logins from, I believe it's Bob Pickering.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Bob Pickering basically gave us logins from the county, and Alert Palm Coast fits in within Alert Flagler so that we're messaging to our residents.
Okay.
So it's a component of Code Red, or
it's similar to that.
It's similar, and
yeah.
So it's basically, let's say for example that during the hurricane, there's a moment where, especially if one is battering Palm Coast, there's a moment where the sheriff's office or the fire department would say, okay, shelter in place, do not leave your house, conditions are bad, don't go anywhere. And so then we would send out a text saying, this is what's happening now, shut your doors, stay inside, don't go anywhere. That would be a primary example of when we would use something like that. Not to say, you know, number of cases, of, you know, so not something like that. It would be an imminent, this is an emergency, this is a threat, you know.
To put it in perspective, yeah. We haven't had a moment like that this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually can't think of the last time we have had a moment like that. It's a last case scenario type thing.
The Starlight tornado.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect example.
If you had warning.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Council, any questions or comments?
Vice Mayor Clufus.
Yep, I was just going to say great job, and thank you for the in-depth explanation of our communication strategy and visualizing the fact that this is very much a methodical, thought-out roadmap, and you guys are crushing it. So thanks. And I've also enjoyed the social media presence of the city.
Thank you.
And I've definitely learned about some local places that I've hit up, which have had some delicious food. So it's working, and I see it visually, but it's nice to see it in front of us and then put some numbers behind the posts.
Thank you.
No other comments? Just again, really want to congratulate you on especially in particular the COVID response. I really feel that our residents were very appreciative of the amount of effort and time and work that went into that. A lot of initiatives throughout that connected our residents to us in unprecedented times. So I've been very appreciative, very impressed, and frankly, just very grateful because I think it's helped. So thank you.
Thank you.
Does that conclude your presentation?
It does.
Morning? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Okay, we'll now move to agenda item number 4, which is an ordinance. Mr. Eichmann.
Madam Mayor, Council, this is the second reading of the title of this small box discount stores regulations as follows. It's an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, amending the City of Palm Coast Unified Land Development Code to define and regulate the operations and locations of small box discount stores by amending Chapter 3, Section 3.03.02, non-residential and mixed-use districts, allowable use. Amending Chapter 14, glossary, providing for legislative findings and intent. for implementing administrative actions, providing for severability, codification for conflicts, and providing for an effective date. This is a legislative matter, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Honorable Members of the Council. This was heard at the August 4th, 2020 workshop. There have been no changes to this item. This is planned to be the second and final read of this ordinance, and we have staff here today to answer any questions you may have.
Council, any questions or comments at this time? Thank you, Doug. Seeing no questions or comments at this time, I'm going to open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make comment on agenda item number 4, please do so by calling in at 386-223-1690. Please hit star 9 to unmute yourself.
I see none there.
Thank you. We'll close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes. Oops, sorry, I was muted. Yes.
Okay. Councilmember Ranquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cupp?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Agenda item number 5 is an ordinance first read.
Mayor, Council, this is, as you said, Mayor, this is the first reading of the title of this ordinance regarding communications rights of way. It's the an ordinance of the City Council, City of Palm Coast, Florida, amending Article Roman numeral 4, Communications Rights of Way of Chapter 42, Streets, Roads, Bridges, and Other Public Places of the City of the Code of the Ordinances of the City of Palm Coast to amend and update regulations regarding communications facilities in public rights of way consistent with Chapter 337 Florida statutes, providing for severability, codification, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. Again, this was discussed at the August 11th, 2020 workshop. If you will recall, Mesa Borkett gave us an in-depth description and answered questions in regards to the specific intended purpose and what this ordinance would accomplish. We do have a staff here today if there's any questions or discussion.
Council, any questions or comments at this time?
Only the comment that everyone needs to understand that this is being done to bring us into accord with state statute. It's not something that we've initiated. It's something that we're being required to do.
I just want to, last week when I asked what these gadgets look like on top of the poles, Mr. Culley, you said that you're going to send me some pictures of these things. I haven't got them. Would you be so kind, and please don't forget to send me what these things look like.
Sure, Councilor Ranquino, I actually have some added to a slide deck. I can just send you the whole slide deck. I'll send it to all the council if that's what you'd like.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments from the council at this time? Thank you, Doug. I'll open it up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 5, please do so at this time by calling in at 386-223-1690 and hit star mute to be unmuted, or star 9.
I see none, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please, Virginia.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cupp?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Agenda item number 6 is another ordinance.
Yes, Mayor, Council, this is a corresponding ordinance dealing with our land development code, really to achieve the same objectives that Councilmember Netz just identified. The first reading of the title of this is an ordinance to the City Council of the City of Palm Coast, Florida, amending Section 4-20, Wireless Telecommunications of Chapter 4, Conditions for Limited Specific Uses and Activities of City of Palm Coast, Unified Land Development Regulations, to revise the definition of co-location consistent with Florida statutes and correct a reference error, providing for severability, codification, providing for conflicts, and providing for an effective date.
Yes, thank you again, Honorable Mayor, City Council. As Mr. Reichman mentioned and Mr. Netz mentioned, thank you. These are intended to bring us into compliance with Florida statutes. This is not something the city initiated proactively. These are compliance measures. This item was similarly discussed and heard at your August 11th, 2020 workshop. There have been no changes to this item from the the explanation given and the detailed presentation by Ms. Borkett. Don Culey's here today to answer any questions or concerns you may have.
Council, any questions or comments on this agenda item?
I have none.
Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 6, please do so at this time.
I see none, Mayor.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Seconded.
Second.
Thank you very much. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clupas?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Passes 5-0.
We'll now move to the resolutions portion of our agenda. Agenda item number 7 is a resolution approving the final nuisance abatement assessment.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. Again, this item was discussed at your August 11th, 2020 workshop. There has been no changes. This document comes back from the origination March 2nd, 2010. This is an annualized process to adopt an ordinance to create the assessment area for our nuisance abatement assessments, and will be attached to the ad valorem tax bill sent out each year by December 21st. Again, no changes, and we have Barbara, the incomparable Barbara Grossman, here to answer any questions you may have.
Council, any questions or comments on this particular agenda item? Okay, we'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment, please call in at 386-223-1690. When you hit *9, you will be unmuted. You will have up to 3 minutes. I would ask that you please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin.
No one indicating to speak, ma'am.
Okay, we did have a request for an interpreter to be on board, so if we can give it maybe another couple of seconds to see if they can sign in, because we did set up the interpretation for them.
We will give it 30 seconds. Thank you.
As a reminder, please hit *9 on your phone to indicate you would like to speak.
Please state your name for the record.
Caller, you may have to now hit *6 to unmute yourself.
Hello?
Yes. Please state your name for the record.
Hello?
Please state your name for
My
the
name
record.
My name is Yuri Pinaev.
Okay.
Yuri Pinaev. My English is not enough. Can translate me. Anybody help me?
Just go ahead and start
Hello?
Speaking. Start speaking, and we'll have a translator translate your comments after, please.
Я получил письмо от City Department убрать на своем участке сухие деревья. Я их спилил, но оставил на участке. Следующим письмом мне надо было их вывести. Я нанял компанию. All Season Green Source. Эта компания вывезла, я лично контролировал, а потом я получил билл на $900. И за что я должен платить той компании, которая выставила мне билл, если я сам лично их спилил и вывез? Вот
yes, this
что
is
я
not...
еще могу...
Можете опять объяснить меня? Это Антон, я буду ваш переводчик.
Да, да. На участке, один Rain 3, мой участок, надо было убрать сухие деревья. Я их спилил и оставил. Но следующее письмо я получил от сети, надо вывезти. Я компанию нанял, All Season Green Source. И лично участвовал в этом. Деревья вывезли. А потом мне пришел билл на $900, что якобы кто-то эти деревья вывез. Я сам их спилил и сам их вывез. За что я должен кому-то платить?
Mm-hmm. His question, so he is explaining to me that he has a notice from the city that he needs to cut some trees down, which he did. He said that he had another notice advising that he needs to remove the trees, which he advises that he bought, he hired the company, True Green Source, whatever he was saying, and he said he helped that company and move the trees. So he said he hired a company to move the trees, and now he's getting a bill for around $900, and he is questioning why he received his bill.
Okay, does that conclude his statement or question?
Это все, что вы хотели сказать?
Ну да, у меня есть свидетели, у меня есть, я с Дитей разговаривал, все объяснил, с инспектором был на участке. Если тот человек, который выставил мне бил, может мне показать, я знаю, какие деревья я спилил, те, которые были обозначены. Пусть он скажет или покажет, какие он пилил деревья и вывозил. Если там других не было сухих деревьев.
Yes, that is all. He's saying that he had a witness that can witness that he removed these trees and hired his own company to remove them and not the city.
Okay, I think I understand. We'll take, please let him... We'll respond in a moment. We'll take other questions from the public, and then we'll get a response to this. Any member of the public wish to speak that has not spoken already, please call in at 386-223-1690. I just asked the first speaker to hold on, and we'll respond to his questions accordingly. Barbara, if you could come up and respond.
While Barbara's coming forward, if I could help with for the council and for the public and for the speaker, this is a statutory process that the City of Palm Coast follows, and I think it's important to recognize that there's a series of steps that the city has to go through. And in this type of situation, it's not that the city didn't unannounced go out onto the property and fix it. There's notices that are sent out, and there's time frames in those notices. Barbara can sure speak to this more specifically than I can, but you know, we've got some situations that are created that are defined in the code that we define as nuisances. They're dangerous to the public safety, and it's in these types of situations that the Florida statutes allow us to go out there and abate or remove these nuisances under a specific process that is set forth in the statute and which we follow very carefully.
Good morning.
Good morning. I can go step by step really fast, or I can give you an overall view of how it works with the special assessment and how a notice of remedy is established. Which would you prefer?
Are you familiar with this case in particular?
Yes, I am.
Okay, if you could just address this case in particular, that would be great.
Okay, on the 20th of September 2019, we posted the property for hazardous trees, six of them. It was a complaint from the next door neighbor. It was mailed certified and return receipt first class as per state statute. It was not returned undeliverable. Trees were cut down, but the debris was not removed. On 10/18, we gave them 25 days. We went back out and did a reinspection. The trees were down, but they had not been removed. So we gave them a checklist indicating that the debris needed to be removed, giving an additional 14 days for removal of the debris. On the 11th, the 1st of November, they were still in violation, so we referred it to our city contractor to have the debris removed. We had the debris removed on the 15th of December. On the 17th, we received an invoice from the city contractor. We then, in turn, invoiced the property owner. On the 28th of January, we received a call from the owner claiming he did the work himself. I have before and after pictures from the city contractor of them removing the debris. He stated that he paid a company to move the debris and witnessed the removal himself. He brought an invoice on the 3rd of February of this year, only indicating that debris was moved. He had the option of appealing it in a 15-day process, and he did not appeal it. So it went on the special assessment.
Okay. Council Member Netz, you served on the Code Enforcement Board for many years. If you could really maybe just speak to this issue. I'm not sure how this gets remedied other than seems to me that it an appeal process was announced. It wasn't responded to, and so we're here today because of that.
I think, first of all, as alluded to earlier, the fact that this is called a nuisance abatement ordinance bothers me a little bit, because it's not nuisance. These are things that are threats to the public. These trees created a threat. You have to deal with these things for the interests of the general public, the public who surrounds this area. There's a very clear-cut process. Sometimes it seems almost ridiculously long and complicated, but you have to go through this, by state statute. The city did follow, according to Ms. Grossman, the procedures. The city did hire a contractor. The contractor claims that he removed the debris. I can claim anything I want, but the evidence is, to me, is sufficient that the city had to do what it had to do in following the procedures. Barbara, what you might want to do for the benefit of council, what options does this gentleman have at this point?
At this point, his options are... There are none. He had an appeal process, and he didn't take advantage of it. Right, and he's now approaching you because he's received the public nuisance letter indicating to speak today, and I'm speaking to you on behalf of the city as to what staff did within the Urban Forestry Division.
I think it's pretty, I don't want to say clear-cut, you know, because we're talking about trees, but it's pretty clear. That everything has been documented to date as far as the policy, the procedure that was followed, and unfortunately was not taken advantage of with the time frame for an appeal process. So, okay. All right, thank you for your comments and your response, and I appreciate it.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we close public comment. We do need a motion to approve the resolution. So can I have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus.
Yes.
Councilmember Ranquino.
Yes.
Councilmember Cox.
Yes.
Councilmember Net.
Yes.
Mayor Holland.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Sorry.
Mayor.
And thank you for arranging the interpreter, Virginia. We appreciate it very much. Agenda item number 8 is a resolution approving the Old Kings Road special assessment roll to be transmitted to the Flagler County Tax Collector.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. This item was heard at your August 11th workshop. There have been no changes to the suggested item. By way of reminder for the public, this was established in 2005 as a way to provide a funding mechanism through property tax assessments to fund the four-laning improvements of Old Kings Road from Palm Coast Parkway to SR 100. This resolution will provide a means for the annual assessment roll to be included on the 2020 real estate tax bills, which are usually issued around October or November. And we have Helena Owls here to answer any specific questions you may have.
Council, any questions or comments on this particular agenda item? Okay. We'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 8, please do so at this time. Thank you very much, Doug. Take it back to this council. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus.
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino.
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff.
Yes.
Councilmember Netz.
Yes.
Mayor Holland.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Okay, thank you very much. We'll move to agenda item number 9, which is a resolution authorizing a continuation of the existing contract with Cotney Construction LLP to provide investigative legal services relating to the fraud, waste, abuse, and whistleblower hotline.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. This is coming by my request. If you will recall, on June 16th, 2020, I indicated to the council we had entered into an agreement with Cotney Construction Law for legal services pertaining specifically to the city's fraud, waste, and abuse system. It was procured under our purchasing policies as a sole source for legal services. We have been working closely with Cotney. If you will also recall, Jeffrey Mandel of Fisher Phillips in his June 29th, 2020 investigatory findings noted that the city process has significant flaws in the handling of complaints and ensuring the steps are necessary to protect employees' statutory and constitutional rights, and that many cases simply lacked documentation to specific findings or to indicate any resolution whatsoever. Mr. Mandel also notes the city manager, myself, has been excluded from that process since October 2019. While this is important, is twofold. The ongoing work of the Cotney firm is to first and foremost ensure that we maintain an open, transparent, and legally compliant process in regards to any fraud, waste, and abuse, and that has happened. We have not slowed, stalled, or stopped that process. And more importantly, I've engaged with Mr. Cotney, and we are rewriting that process to actually have a robust and compliant fraud, waste, and abuse process that will be compliant with the law and also have the employee and personnel safeguards it needs to, and have the checks and balance system it needs to. So I'm asking to continue to work with Mr. Cotney on those two issues, to continue to keep fraud, waste, and abuse open, to continue the ongoing nearing completion review of all the cases from the last 36 months and understand those dispositions that are incomplete, and then to finalize a new process so that we can once again take this fraud, waste, and abuse system back in-house, and there is no intention to use Cotney Law as the ongoing, you know, full-service provider for the service. It will come back to the City of Palm Coast once that is complete.
Okay. Council, are there any questions or comments on this particular agenda item? Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 9, please do so by calling in at 386-223-1690, hitting star 9 to be unmuted.
I see none there.
Council, I'll take it back to this council and entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please, Virginia.
Vice Mayor Clupas.
Yes.
Councilmember Brinquino.
Yes.
Councilmember Puff.
Yes.
Councilmember Nutz.
Yes.
Mayor Holland.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much. Agenda item number 10 is a resolution approving piggybacking the City of Mesa contract with SHE International for the purchase of information technology equipment.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. I'm going to ask Doug Akins to discuss and present. I am not entirely familiar with this proposed piggyback amendment.
Yes, good morning, Mayor and Council. This is a request to approve piggybacking off the City of Mesa's contract with Software House International, SHI. They have been a vendor of ours since 2006. We buy various kinds of equipment from them, from flash drives to receipt printers up to Microsoft Surface tablets, various software, such as Microsoft licensing for Windows and virtual computers, Adobe licensing. We like to have a variety of these types of contracts available so we can purchase the best price. And this contract is up for renewal and requesting your approval to renew.
Just a quick question. We don't receive the sales tax generated from these purchases, correct? Because we're not tax exempt. I mean,
I believe that is correct, yes, ma'am.
Okay, and so we've worked with them, and has there been any type of competitive bidding historically throughout this contract to see if we can get lower costs
with this particular company,
or just put out in general?
Well, we do have contracts again with CWG. And also Insight for similar products, and we compare against those contracts, and we always buy the lowest price.
And how often is this equipment like purchased? I know we go through an annual budget process, so it's put in throughout that. You know how many pieces of equipment you're going to need annually. Is that as far as cartridges and those sorts of things, or you're just purchasing them as needed?
Typically, for the larger equipment, we definitely know beforehand.
Okay.
What we need. The smaller stuff is more as needed.
Okay.
always within budgeted items, of course.
Right. Council, any questions or comments on this particular agenda
item? Yes, I have a question.
Yes.
It's my understanding that when you piggyback on another government's contract, that they have done the requisite bidding and selection.
Yes, sir.
It's not that you're just arbitrarily picking a contractor. They've already gone through the bidding process with, in this case, Mesa.
Yes, sir. Okay. That's correct.
That's correct, Mr. Councilmember Netz. The whole rationale under local government's purchasing policies, which is common with ours, and is that you're using another local government's exercise of making sure that they've gone through the process of getting the best bid after they've gone out on the street, either with an RFP or an RFQ, and that we're required as a matter of law to make sure that whatever their price is, whatever their contract is, we follow that specifically.
If I could add too, one of the things I've really learned a lot about in the last year is as I told council, we're going to dive into the piggybacking process and really understand through finance, through Rose Concecio and Jesse Scott, they don't even just take that lowest acknowledgement. They put in a tremendous amount of hard work and heavy lifting to validate every contract, every purchase agreement, every proposed purchase agreement, every RFP and RFQ, and have really designed a robust system that is highly transparent and highly competitive, and they have done a tremendous job.
RFS. Sorry.
I knew I was going to miss out.
Okay, any other questions or comments on this particular agenda item, Council? Thank you. We'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 10, please do so at this time.
I see none there.
Okay, thank you. We'll close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Been seconded. Roll call, Virginia, please.
Vice Mayor Cooper? Is that a yes?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Okay, we'll now move to agenda item number 11, which is a resolution approving piggybacking the City of Ormond Beach contract with Empire Computing for the purchase of information technology equipment.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. Mr. Akins, this appears to be the same, to have multiple vendors on hand, but if you would please discuss with Council.
Yes, sir. This is a request again to approve piggybacking off City of Ormond Beach for Empire Computing. They've been a vendor of ours since 2005. For networking consulting and advanced networking consulting. They are extremely knowledgeable of our network, help us with things such as firewall, VPN configuration, and wireless configurations, and also looking forward to next year as part of our capital improvement, replacing a lot of our older equipment, like the ability to have them as an option to purchase through also.
What do we do with the old equipment?
I think normally it's all going to auction. Yes.
Oh, okay. I know, wasn't it the school district years ago had utilized some programs for students that couldn't afford some forms of technology, and they partnered. I don't know if that's ever been considered.
I've not heard that.
Yeah.
That's a great.
But it might be a way to help some students in our community. I don't know if that's an option or not, but it might be worth exploring.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, that's actually an excellent question.
I think it was like through Take Stock in Children or something like that through the Education Foundation. Okay. Council, any questions or comments on this particular agenda item?
Councilman Cuff.
Councilmember Cuff.
I was just going to say, I think the mayor is referring to the Make It Take It program that Jim Gines and some other school board members and staff started back in 2000. I don't think they do it anymore, but it's certainly worth pursuing. Last time I looked at the school board tech, theirs was at least as good as ours. So, whether we'd have something they would want to be able to use, I don't know. But it's worth asking, certainly.
Great. Thank you for that clarification. Yes. Okay, no other questions or comments on this particular agenda item. I will open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda item number 11, please do so at this time.
I see none, Mayor.
Thank you, Doug. Close public comment. I'll take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
Move approval.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Agenda item number 12 is a resolution approving a work order with DRMP Incorporated to provide engineering design services for Colbert and Blair Conveyance Improvement Project.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, City Council. In keeping with the city's adopted priority of enhanced stormwater master plan and the council's goals to ongoing address stormwater and drainage issues, this project would intend to improve water conveyances across Blair Drive and Colbert Lane, with the ultimate goal of an increased level of flood protection for upstream residential properties. We do have Carl Cody and Mike Peel here to introduce the item and answer any questions council may have.
Council, any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on agenda on number 12, please do so at this time. Thank you so much, Doug. Take it back to this council. Entertain a motion.
I'll move approval.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please, Virginia.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, and other business. Agenda item number 13, appoint 3 members and 1 alternate to the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board. Virginia, I know you have, spoke to you this morning about how you're looking at this procedurally. Can you just explain that quickly?
Yes. Great. I'm going to hand out tally sheets to the in-person council members. You're going to pick 3 under round 1. And then return the ballot to me, and then I will poll Councilmember Clufus and Councilmember Cobb.
And Virginia, do we have that sheet? I found it attached in the agenda. That it starts on page 573 for Bob, if he needs to.
I was just checking my email for my promised copy, but yeah, I see it on the agenda. What's the page reference? 573
is the volunteer board and committee application I see, so probably a little bit above that. I'm scrolling up now.
I've got the names here. So
perfect.
Mayor, Council, just for clarification, there's 3 openings.
Yes.
You've got 6 applicants, so we're asking you to pick 3 of the 6 applicants so that those can be tallied by your city clerk, and if we have 3, then we're good.
I just want to make a comment. It's nice to see that one of the applicants for city council had applied.
Yeah.
If you want me to keep the second? Okay. Thank you.
Vice Mayor Clufus, your 3 choices.
My 3 choices are James Albano, Clint Smith, and then Hung Hilton.
Councilmember Cuff, your 3 choices?
My 3 choices would be James Albano, Donna Banks, and Clint Smith.
Give me a moment.
Like the Jeopardy music to play.
We can do that.
We'll try to prepare that for next time, Mayor. So be careful what you wish for.
Well,
I'm not going to get that song out of my head the whole time today.
Thanks a lot.
Of them. Give me 1 second to organize that.
go slower, because Virginia, go slower.
And I'm having a hard time hearing.
I'm going to cross them off and send them back.
Yeah, but I know. Just can you go real slow when you're announcing this? Thank you.
So we have 3 votes for Aldana, 1 for Banks, 1 for Davis, 2 for Hilton, 1 for Nicholson, and 4 for Clint Smith.
So Albano and Clint Smith are selected.
Yes.
So now it's between Banks, Davis, Hilton, Nicholson.
For one spot.
For one spot, and Hilton received 2 in the last one, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So Virginia will hand out to those here today another sheet, and then we'll poll the 2 council members for their selection for the 1.
This is not an alternate seat. This is just for the 3rd selection.
That's going to be our next go around. Yes. That's yours. Thank round you. 2 is on the bottom.
Yes, this is for the 3rd selection.
One selection on round 2.
I'm sorry. What we're asking you to do is make 1 selection. Sorry, Mayor, just to repeat it, but I want to make sure it's clear. You've got 4 to choose from, folks, and you need to just pick 1. Donna Banks, Glenn Davis, Hung Hilton, and Suzanne Nicholson. Those are the 4 from amongst you. Please pick 1.
So we're only picking 1 this time.
That is correct.
Of the remaining 4.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Like the movie Highlander.
Dark and the only one.
Vice Mayor Klupas, your choice for the last seat is between Banks, Davis, Hilton, Nicholson.
Hilton.
Councilmember Cuff, your choice?
Hilton.
Would you like, are you going to go through the alternate now?
Yes.
Okay. And then you want a motion at the end for all?
You can do a motion now to appoint Albano, Smith, and Hilton if you would like.
Can I have that motion, please?
So move.
Is there a second?
Okay.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Klupas?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Nets?
Yes.
Mayor Holm?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Great. Now we're going to pick 1 for the alternate.
Now you have a sheet for the alternate. It'll be the top, and you can cross off Albano, Smith, and Hilton. And choose 1 alternate.
From the 3 remaining applicants, right?
Correct. And Ms. Nicholson remains as the alternate, so she's not an option on this ballot as well.
It's down to 2.
Wait, what?
Yes,
it's down to 2.
I apologize. I did not realize that.
Either between Donna Banks and Glenn Davis.
Correct.
Okay.
My apologies, Mayor. Didn't understand that.
Okay. I don't understand it at all.
It's confusing.
I still don't. So.
I don't.
This one got a little tricky for virtual, so thank you for bearing with me. Your alternate.
Okay, scratch this. That's
yep. Perfect. Thank you.
So again, just to clarify, we're picking an alternate, and it'll be between Donna Banks and Glenn Davis.
Yes.
Stay tuned to find out next week on the council.
Wants to be a planning land development review board.
Yes. I'm sorry, did you ask for my vote?
Okay, I'll do you first. That's fine. Councilmember Clip, is your selection on Banks or Davis for all three?
Banks.
Councilmember Cuff, Banks or Davis?
Banks.
Easy. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move to the consent agenda. Any member of the public wish to make public comment on any of the items of the consent agenda, please call in at 386-223-1690. That is for agenda 14, 15, 16, or 17. I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
To approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Vice Mayor Clufus?
Yes.
Councilmember Branquino?
Yes.
Councilmember Cuff?
Yes.
Councilmember Netz?
Yes.
Mayor Holland?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Great, thank you. We'll now open up to public participation. This is for those that have not chosen to speak at the beginning of the meeting, would like to make public comment on items not on the agenda. It's please call in by 386-223-1690. Please state your name for the record, and your 3 minutes will begin. Okay. We'll close public comment. I will take it to a discussion by City Council of matters not on the agenda. Councilmember Branquino.
Yes, I have one thing, actually. Very, very recently, I took my COVID test, which me and my wife, which was done by the Flagler Department of Health here. Before I tell you the results,
I was going to say, should we all move? Like,
No. Actually, you could get closer. I just want to thank Bob Snyder, Sue Reese, actually everybody. They were very informative. It was safe and secure, and most of all, very professional. And I want to thank them for being so nice and and understanding. By the way, the results were negative. Me and my wife were negative. And I attribute that a lot at this little thing that I have in my face called the mask. So please, I don't know what my future is going to be, but if wearing a mask makes me happy for being negative, I recommend it to everybody. Thank you. That's it.
And thank you for reiterating that, and glad to hear.
Thank you.
Thank you. Council Member Netz.
Nothing.
Okay. Vice Mayor Clufus.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. I'm happy to hear that Council Member Branquino is tested negative, and I, for one, also support wearing our masks as long as we have to, because it's going to help potentially one person, then that's more than enough reason to do it. But besides that, I have no other comments besides telling everybody to go out there and use their constitutional right to vote.
Thank you very much. Yes. Council Member Cuff.
I think everyone else has covered what I wanted to say, but if you go out to vote, wear your mask. I was encouraged by our presentation earlier in the meeting about the trends that we're seeing. But again, we've seen downward or level trends before. And I certainly hope that nobody who's following the daily stats, like old guys like myself used to follow baseball standings, will read into that, that it is now safe to just go out and do whatever you want and not wear masks and not practice social distancing. The only way we're going to get this under control is to continue on doing what we're doing. And I'm encouraged that it appears to be getting better, especially with school starting, but that's all the more reason to double down on it and keep ourselves safe and keep the community safe. So
I concur with all the statements made and appreciate the consistency in which this council conducts this message, and I'm encouraged as well. Hopefully it continues in this direction. Discussion by city attorney of matters not on the agenda.
No report, Mayor.
Discussion by city manager of matters not on the agenda.
No report, thank you.
Mr. Morton.
Agenda item number 18.
I have a report today.
Yes.
I thought that was going to be unmentioned. So attached for your review, as required by our purchasing policies and our city code, is a list of the emergency purchases that the city has made for July 2020. You will notice a lot of purchases for COVID-related technology. Thankfully, those are reimbursable expenses. We had several emergency repairs at Indian Trails Sports Complex, one related to a digging incident, one related to a failing lightning protection system. And then, of course, the other one I had mentioned in a city report several weeks ago, there was emergency sheet piles required to rebuild the pond, the stormwater retention pond that sits over between Flagler Palm Coast High School and the shopping plaza. There was an unknown cause. We're still investigating what caused a breach in the wall. Didn't result in any flooding or damage, but we had to repair that wall. And we're doing the post-mortem, so to speak, to understand what happened. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions or address specific items with the council. Thank you very much.
I have a motion to.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to adjourn this meeting.